This morning, we're going to continue our study on 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The topic is, do all for edifying. When God created mankind, God created us different from the rest of creation. Man has self-determination. That means he is aware of himself, of who he is. And that's how God has made us into his image. You ask yourself, and people ask you, who are you? What is your name? You know who you are, and you know your name. And therefore, you also know the people around you. And therefore, because you know the people around you, you are affected by the people around you. And therefore, your life and my life will affect people. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul tried to do. He wanted to affect the people in the church in Corinth for good. His heart's desire is always for them to grow spiritually, to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. But as you try to do the work of God for the betterment of God's churches and God's people, rest assured, Satan will never leave you alone. Satan will try his best to undermine and retard the work of God. And that was exactly what the Apostle Paul faced. This was a church with many, many problems. Problems that were internal, created by the members themselves. Problems external, where enemies infiltrated into the churches, and they have climbed to the position of leadership. And some of them were false teachers and false apostles, whereby they tried to accuse the Apostle Paul with all sorts of evil and sinful deeds. And this morning, we're going to look at another accusation, and this accusation is found in verse 16, where you realize that these were not the words of the Apostle Paul, but of the enemies of the Apostle Paul. But be it so. In other words, all right, let's say what the Apostle Paul says is true. I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Now, what exactly does this mean? What it means is simply this. Yes, the Apostle Paul says he did not want anything from us. He did not collect anything from us. When he came, he contributed. He did not ask for money. But what about the people whom he sent? He sent them to collect money. Now, what did he do with all these funds? Nobody knows. He says he has sent them to the Christians in Jerusalem. He says he sent them to the Christians in Thessalonica or some other churches. How do we know? We gave money to Titus, we gave money to Timothy. He sent all these people to come and collect funds. Perhaps he'd gone into his own pocket for his own personal gain and the comforts of life, for his own personal benefits. This was what they charged him with. I did not burden you. Yes, you did not burden us, but the people you sent had burdened us. You sent them to collect money from us, and he continued to do so in the earlier passage. Chapters of this epistle. He told them to give because there are Christians in Jerusalem, especially the Jews, who were pretty poor compared to the Gentiles, who were more financially well off than the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. And so Paul says, you have to help one another. And so he sent people to collect funds to help these churches. But the problem was the enemies attacked him, undermined this goodwill, this good deed. The Apostle Paul encouraged the people to do, to help one another, to give toward God's work. And so these enemies tried to retard the work, to slow it down by hammering at the Apostle Paul's character. And they said, being crafty, you see how crafty he is, how subtle he is? He did not come himself, he sent his understudy, his students, his disciples. I caught you with guile. They said that he was full of guile. He wanted to deceive them, to cheat them. Nobody knows. Sometimes it is very hard, isn't it? Because nobody can read hearts. It is so easy to undermine the motive of someone who is serving the Lord fervently and zealously. No matter how hard you want to give of your life and to be as transparent as possible, there will always be ways and means that people will try to undermine. And those who are in the ministry, you have to be prepared. To be prepared for these kind of attacks. If you have thin skin and you cannot absorb this kind of underhanded blows of attacks against your character, against your name, and you want to indulge in self-pity and you want to mourn and cry and weep, then you better not be in the leadership and in the ministry. This is part and parcel of what ministerial life is. To be hurt by the enemies, and they're going to say all kinds of things against you falsely. This is it. Did Jesus not warn us the three kinds of persecution that Christians ought to beware of? The first is they will say things about you by reviling you, scold you to your face. And then secondly, they're going to hurt you physically. They're going to stone you, imprison you, going to whip you. And then thirdly, they're going to say all kinds of things against you falsely for Jesus' sake. These are the three methods that Jesus warns us that every believer must be cautioned, must beware of. Because it will happen. It's either one, two, or three, or all three at the same time. It will come, it's only a matter of time. The moment you serve, you've got to be prepared. That is why it is so important to be beyond reproach. It is so important to flee even the appearance of evil, because they can even attack you based upon the appearance of evil. How much more when it is evil itself, when you commit a terrible sin? This past few weeks, this American candidate for presidency, Mr. Kane, right? Today he announced that he is going to withdraw his candidacy because of the many, many assaults and attack on his character. One after another, first denial, denial, to no end. You want to be in positions of leadership, you want to fight against God's battle, you can rest assured the enemies will be far, far worse than what you find in the world. Because what do they lose in the world is basically the power that people give to them. What do they gain are primarily bricks and mortars, reputation, a name. That's all about it. That's it. But in the spiritual realm, we're talking about the souls of men, women, and children. Souls that can end up in heaven or in hell. And that's exactly what Christians are serving the Lord toward. To prevent as many sinners as possible from going to hell. That's why we have this coming gospel rally. That's why we have tracting. That's why we have tracts. That's why we encourage people to go out there and don't go out there as a person like that of the world, motivated by money and promotion, but as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You are there as an ambassador of Christ. Do you know what that means? You represent Christ. Because that's what your life is meant to be. To point people to Jesus Christ, that they might see Christ and not die in their sin without the Savior and end up in hell for eternity. This is what is at stake. And this was what the Apostle Paul wanted the church to become, a place where people come in, they can find Christ Jesus through the preaching of the gospel, where Christians can come in and become more mature in the faith. That is what a healthy church ought to be. A place where the gospel is faithfully preached, a place where the word of God is faithfully taught, where members will grow and become mature Christians. And this was what Paul wanted the church in Corinth to become. But the enemies undermine every step the Apostle Paul tried to take. For the betterment of the church, the enemies continue to become very zealous and fervent to destroy his work, destroy his apostleship, destroy his character this time. He was not part of the 12, it is true. But does that mean that he was not an apostle? No. That's why in the earlier verses he says that we were not behind in any apostle. Right? Am I behind the very cheapest apostle, though I be nothing? Never. He did many miracles. They witnessed them themselves. They have seen it. He even raised someone from the dead. They have seen enough of his miracles to authenticate his apostleship. And now his character is being maligned and under attack. But he says, do all things for edifying, for the edification and the betterment of the church. What is the charge against edification? Because your life and my life, it is not for the edification of God's people, then what is it for? Do you know what is edification? Edification is not a warm feeling. Edification is not just feeling nice between you and God. Edification, first and foremost, always begin with the mind. The mind must be involved in edification, whereby a person knows God better, a person knows Christ better. Now, how do you know God better and know Christ better outside of God's Word? You can't. And so the edification of believers must involve God's Word. And that means by your life, by your testimony, and by your ministry, you authenticate God's Word by the way that you live, whereby you do not only talk about God's Word, whereby you live out God's Word in your life. And people look at your life. People look at the life of the Apostle Paul. He did not just preach the gospel, did not just simply preach about strength and courage. He practiced it. He lived it out in his life. He was prepared to go to prison for Christ, even as he taught them. Are you prepared to die for Jesus Christ? He did it. He taught it, and then he lived it out. Now that is what edification can do. It's supposed to encourage the lives of the people to live more for Jesus Christ based upon God's truth, based upon God's Word. Now that is what edification, and God says every child of God has this capacity, this propensity to edify the lives of the people around you for Christ Jesus. Only Christians can have this propensity and this authority and power to do so. You know how great and privileged that position is, whereby your life can impact someone to become more like Christ. You look at the world around us, you look at the life that you have influenced. Has it ever been in that direction where your son, your daughter, look at your life? They want to become more like Jesus Christ because they have seen how mom and dad live their lives. How they have seen mom and dad loved one another, related to one another according to Holy Scriptures. The mother submit to the father as unto the Lord, and the father loves the mother as Christ loved the church. And then when children grow up, they say to themselves, I want to pattern my life after dad. I want to pattern my life after mom because they are like Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Edification. And that's exactly what it means when we serve in the church. As a Sunday school teacher, you're going to relate to a lot of people. As you serve in the fellowship groups, you're going to relate with a lot of people. As you attend Bible study groups, contact groups, you're going to relate with people. And your life will impact people. Now the question is, in which direction? There are only two directions. More like Christ or more like the world? No two ways. More like Christ, more like the world. And in verses 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul tells us the charge against edifying. If this is what you do, then your life cannot be edifying to others. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? A rhetorical question. Of course not, I didn't. I desire Titus, and with him I sent a brother with another person. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk we not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? The charge against edifying is one of gain. If you do anything in the church or anywhere when you serve the Lord, if it is for gain, whether it is monetary, whether it is reputation, whether it is favor, whatever sort of gain, your life will not bring edification. There must be no personal gain, no hidden agenda. Some people come to church because they want their children to get into kindergarten. Some people come to church because they want to enlarge their business contacts. Some people come to church because they want to sell insurance. Some people come to church because they want all sorts of reasons. Please don't do that. Please. I'm not saying that people cannot approach you for assistance to help them in some other ways. We are not saying that people cannot approach you if they know that, for example, you are a car mechanic and you work somewhere where you fix cars. And the person can come and ask you, can I bring my car to your shop Please make sure that it is a business contract. You don't go to him, since we are church member, please do it for free. You don't do that. Worse still, if you are the deacon and you are the pastor and you go up to the person, since you know I'm the pastor, you're the member, you know, can you do it? Don't you ever even think about it. If he wants to, it's up to him. If not, make sure it is the proper business arrangement. Now, you approach him. He did not ask for you going around and pass his business card. We're not saying that that cannot happen. Sure, it has happened. If you are a contractor, we may ask you to also bid for the renovation of parts of the church or do some work. But it has to be a business contract. No gain, no hidden agenda. You must make sure that there is no personal gain, because that will destroy your edification. Because be sure your sin will find you out. You never play hide and seek with sin. Sin always wins. You know children play this hide and seek, right? Cover your eyes, count 1 to 10, and then they come and find you. You go and do that with sin. Be sure your sin will find you. It's only a matter of time. The only way you do not want sin to catch up to you is to repent of it. And then once you repent of it, sin is no more in your life. But the moment you sin, you can rest assured it will come out and you're in serious trouble. Your edification, your testimony, your witness, all will be shot to pieces. And you'll be all over. And you're finished. Years and years and years of building up a reputation, and overnight one act of stupidity, everything is out the window. So many testimonies, present, past, have demonstrated the enormity of the devastation these lives have ruined. Because the higher you go, the louder the fall, the bigger the bang. Personal gain. You do not come to church for any favors or any gain. Simply because you love Jesus Christ, you come to church. Simply because you are born again through Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you come to church. You serve because you are constrained by the love of Christ, seeking no glory, no rewards, nothing. Just come and serve because of Jesus Christ. Reverend Toh has taught us when we were in FEBC, never, never serve the Lord for money. Never talk about salary. Never talk about how many days leave. Never talk about days off. Nothing of the sort. You pray and make sure that this is your calling. And once you know this is your calling, whether they pay you or do not pay you, you will stay there until you die. That's it, plain and simple. A very simple formula for every FEBC student. He warns us. He taught us. He reminded us again and again, never talk about salary, never talk about leave, never, never talk about any personal gain, but a calling. Because you don't sell the calling of God for filthy lucre. You don't exchange it for personal gain. Because the moment you start, you are finished. You are finished. And so he told us, please, make sure that you focus on your ministry. 100% total concentration in the ministry of the Lord. The Lord will take care of the rest. Whatever you need, the Lord will provide in His time. Whatever the Lord gives, you thank God for whatever the Lord has given, and then you always live within the means that God has provided. Plain and simple. If the Lord provides you with a dollar, live within a dollar. That's it. You don't need more than a dollar to survive, because your Heavenly Father always knows best. Because He is your boss, nobody else. And you serve Him. The moment you start murmuring and complaining, not enough this, not enough that, you're not complaining against man, you're not complaining against the board of elders, you're complaining against God. And how dare you complain against God, because He is sovereign. And that must be true of every believer. Not just people in the full-time ministry. Because if you don't, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be the loser. Because you are no different from the rest of your other colleagues who are unbelievers. No personal gain. Walk we not in the same spirit, Paul said this to the Christians in Corinth about Titus. We are the same. We do not want anything from the people in Corinth. Even though we could have demanded, we did not. He made that very clear in verse 13. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. He ministered and he served and he ministered and he served, and they did not give him anything. He never asked for it. And he was happy to serve. Other churches supported him, and whatever they supported him, he came to Corinth and he served and he helped out in the church in Corinth. And here these people attack him and undermine him, saying that he and his colleagues, Titus and Timothy and others, came in with guile to deceive and to cheat. And these false apostles said, now we have caught him. Titus, you know him. You have witnessed his life. He, together with Paul, of the same spirit. They walk in the same steps. Constrained by the love of Christ, they have gone from city to city, churches to churches, to minister the word of God at risk of their own lives and at risk of their own comforts and safety. And here you want to undermine and attack them. That is why it is so true and so important that you do not serve for personal gain. You are an ambassador of Christ in your workplace. Why do you want to exchange the title as an ambassador of Christ to be whatever the title the company gives to you? You're an ambassador first, last, and always. You are in your office, you are in your company, you are doing whatever you do because that's your calling. For us in the full-time ministry, that's our calling. We all have different callings, but we are all ambassadors of Christ. Same thing. No difference. Just different areas of service and ministry. And when you learn to do that, you will understand how wonderful it is to have the peace in your heart that passes all understanding that God alone could give. You rise above all the terrible office politics. You don't have to stab anybody in the back. You help everyone without hidden agenda. Even those who want to climb higher than you, step you in the back, you just simply continue to help people. The best way you know how, wise as serpent, harmless as dove. Of course, you do not condone wrongdoing. You do not condone sin. But you are harmless as a dove. Wise as serpent, harmless as a dove. An ambassador of Jesus Christ. And you will have the peace in your heart, knowing your Heavenly Father is always in control. Because if you don't, you are in for a very, very rough and difficult passage. Because on Sunday you come to church, you put on one mask. You go to work, you put on another mask. And very soon you might become schizophrenic. Yeah, you have a big problem. You are not consistent. So you ask yourself one day, look in the mirror, who am I? Who am I? Am I the person that comes to church? Or am I the person who goes to the work? Because when you go to work, it's a totally different person. The Christian principles that you learn, the Bible doesn't seem to exist in your life. You don't live a life where you desire to be a blessing to people, where you edify people. If this is not your goal and your heart's desire for the person next to you, for the people around you, then why call yourself a Christian? Why are you a Christian then? If that is not your heart's desire and purpose, to edify people so that people will see Christ, so that people will become more like Christ because they look at your life and they see, I want to be like him because he is like Christ. And if your own children can't say that of you, you know how sad that is? How terrible that would be? Your colleagues may be one thing. The colleagues are not your flesh and blood, are not gifts from God to you to bring them up, to shape them and to mold them so that when they grow up, they will be with you in heaven. They will look at mom and dad and they say, I want to be like mom and dad because they love Christ and I want to love Christ the way they love Christ. That is edification. And when you go to work, you are motivated by promotion, by salary, by money, like everybody else. And then you go down and you tell them about the love of Christ. They look at you. You say you love Jesus Christ. You say how Jesus means so much to you. And then when I look at the way that you live, I look at the way that you motivated. I look at the way that you talk. I hear the way you talk. You are like me. The only difference is, I don't tell people about Christ. I don't tell people about the love of Christ. You do. That's all. You know how inconsistent that is? But that seems to be the norm. That seems to be the accepted mold of Christianity today. Hope is not true of us in Calvary Pandan, whereby we are so detached, and you don't think your children will see that detachment in your life? Who are you at home? Who are you? The one in the office or the one in church? Your children sees you in church. They don't see you in the office, so maybe you should portray the one in church. But don't ever let them see you in office, isn't it? Because they're going to get a shock of their lives. You mean dad is like this? You mean mom is like this? Whoa. How could that be? Where is the edification? Paul says, do all for edification. Do all for edification. Not some, not most. All. No exception. Do all for edifying. That was his heart's desire. That was his intent. Do all. You mean he suffered all those things, the long list of sufferings, the stripes, the shipwreck, the imprisonment, the beating with rods, the stoning, and all these things, night and day, all for the edification of the saints? Yes. You mean all the abuse that he had to endure, all for the edification of the saints? Yes. You mean Paul sacrificed his personal rights, his comforts, when he became a Jew to the Jews, a Gentile to the Gentile, so that he could, by God's grace and mercy, save some for the blessing of God's people, for the edification of the saints? Yes, all things. No exception. You mean all this rebuke and all these attacks for the edification of the saints? Yes. He endured all these things so that you may be blessed. How much more us? He is not asking us to do something that he himself had not demonstrated in his own life. Can you think of something that can replace the edification, that is better, that has the impact, that is eternal? None, isn't it? Nothing else can replace this privilege that God has given to us, whereby your life, when you live it out, when you practice it, in a manner that is pleasing to God according to scriptures, it will be for the edification of the saints that will in turn impact them for eternity. Can anything else replace that? None. Everything else that you want to replace with Christ will be temporal. Temporal, truly. You look at people's profession. Look at every profession. It's temporal. The people who work in the hawker center, they fry a very nice plate of fried kway teow. Very nice, very delicious. You eat it, the impact, taste buds are for the few minutes, right? So nice, so delicious. A baker, same thing. A doctor, fix me only for this life and for this body and that's it. The dentist, same thing. Hairdresser, not much hair left. Same thing, isn't it? Only for the moment, that's it. Everything else is for the moment. Everything except Jesus Christ, eternity. Why do we want to replace that with something else? It makes no sense to us. You can impact someone for eternity when you tell them about Christ, when you live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's edification. You can do that, you know. Do you realize that? The people around you, they are created in the image of God. They have self-determination and consciousness. They look at your life and they will allow your life to change them, to affect them, to impact them. Do you know that? And the more they love you, the more they respect you, the more they look up to you, the greater will be the impact. You think very carefully. And if you do not want to impact them for Christ and you replace Christ with someone else, something else, somebody else, you are not very smart. Because no one is better than Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Savior. He's your Lord. And your life can do that. And that's why do all for edifying. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for leaders. It's for every believer. Do all for edifying. Would you? Would you go out into the world and do all things for the edification of God's people. And for those who are unbelievers, they should see Christ in your life. And when they become Christian, they glorify God our Father who is in heaven by becoming Christians. Your life can do that. Let there be no two lives lived by God's people. Let there be one life. The same life that Jesus Christ came into this world to die for, your life. It's the same life that Jesus Christ rose from the dead for, justification. The same person who conducts himself in church is the same person who conducts himself the same way at home, the same person who conducts himself in any part of the world, whether in the office, whether he's on holiday, whether he has gone to the North Pole, the South Pole, doesn't matter. It's the same person for the edification and the glory of Christ. That's a wonderful, wonderful motive and purpose for living, isn't it? That's what you can do when you go out into the working world. All for edifying. Can you do that? Don't lower yourself. God has raised you to a very high standard when He makes us sons and daughters of the Most High God. When He says to us, you can be the salt in the world that is decaying, stop the decay. When God says, you are the light, I put you up on a hill. I didn't snuff it out. I put you up on a hill so that people who are traveling in this world of darkness, they can look at the light and they can find their way to God through Christ. By the way you live, that's your life as a Christian. At home, you are the same light. In your workplace, you are the same light. Anywhere you go, the light has not been switched off, right? Don't switch it off. Don't light a light and then put a bushel on it. Light is supposed to light up the room, light up the house. Don't put a bushel on it. By the way that you live. Because that's exactly what you and I do when we live a life of sin for personal gain. We are putting that bushel on that light. Don't let that happen. And so Paul says in verse 19, again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you, that we are defending ourselves before all of you? We speak before God in Christ. It is not so much you that we are very afraid of, whether we are concerned with. It is God that we are most concerned with. Paul knows the charge against edifying is gain. So he checked his own life, make sure there is no personal gain in Paul's own life, make sure there is no personal gain in what Titus or Timothy, in their lives as well. He makes sure of that. And then he reminded them, if it is you guys that I'm most concerned with, one day I'm going to stand before you as my judge. Then I will pretend I will be nice in front of you. But Paul says, let it be known that we are not making this defense before you, but before God. And God sees all things and God knows my heart. God sees every part of us in Christ, for the sake of Christ, because of Jesus Christ. Everything we do will be evaluated whether it is for Jesus' sake. Plain and simple. 1 Corinthians 3. There is no foundation except that which has been built, that is Jesus Christ, right? And if you want to switch foundation, you will end up in hell. There's no other foundation but Christ Jesus. And then how do you build your life? Is it with gold, with silver, with precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble after you become a Christian? That is the life. Paul says, do it for edifying. Do it all for edifying. For the saints, that they may see Christ in you, truly. If we have hurt someone, if we have sinned against someone, we repent. We apologize. We serve without desire for any recognition or acknowledgement. We just serve. Don't need to be noticed. We just simply serve and do what is right and pleasing to God. And for the blessing of others. If everyone in the church would do that, you know how wonderful a church it would be? If husbands, wives, children would do that at home, you know how blessed and wonderful the house would be? A wonderful place to go home to. A wonderful church to come to week after week. A wonderful ministry. A wonderful place to meet and to serve in your committees. For every committee member is like this. Do all for edifying. A wonderful, wonderful church, family, because it is filled with lives of men, women, and children who truly know Christ, whose heart's desire is to do all for the edification of the saints. How my life could bless your life and how your life could bless my life. And it is not something idealistic. It is something that is real. It is something that God has equipped us for. He says that I have given you the indwelling of the Spirit of God. He says that you can be led by the Holy Spirit. He says I've given you the love of God that has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost when you become a Christian. So we have been equipped by God with all that we need to make sure that this is a reality. Not only in some, but in all truly born-again believers. Would you want this for yourself? But you want this so that your life will impact the lives of your children, your friends, your relatives, your colleagues, in a manner that when they look at you, they don't see you anymore. They see Christ. And there is no one better than Christ that they need to see. You know how tremendous that is? You go to work. You pray and ask the Lord, let it not be motivated by promotion. Let it not be motivated by money. Let it not be motivated by recognition. But simply, I'm here to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Grant me the grace. Grant me the strength to wake up every morning with this heart's desire that I will do all for edifying. Regardless, seeking nothing in return, but only that they may see Christ by the way that I live. This was the Apostle Paul's desire, and that's why he urged them and he told them, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. All things for your edifying. That's all. They attacked him. He appealed to them. Sure, he will be very firm as you read the next few verses and into chapter 13. He will never condone sin. He wants the best for them, but never condone sin. He is prepared to sacrifice all his personal rights, all his personal comforts for the sake of God's people and for the sake of the ministry and for the glory of God. He has no problem with that. But the moment you attack the doctrines, he will use very strong terms, anathema, to rebuke anyone who will attack the doctrine, who will attack the word of God, who will attack Christ. That he will not compromise. But as far as his own personal comforts and rights, he had none. He had none. And yet the people still attacked him. And yet he never stopped. But I still want to do all things for your edifying. Please realize this. If this is what you want to do, be prepared for the enemy to try his best to retard you. When you are not living for Christ, you are a bad testimony. Satan is enjoying and is dancing away. But the moment you want to turn around and live for Jesus Christ, you can rest assured he is most unhappy and you're going to find problems. And that will immediately allow you to pray without ceasing, knowing your Heavenly Father is always sovereign. Your Heavenly Father is always in control. Nothing can happen to God's children without his permission. Please remember this. The doctrine of the sovereignty of God is the most assuring and comforting doctrine in the lives of every believer. Know your God well. You are so wonderfully protected by your Heavenly Father who will always give to you his very best and your best as well. Nothing bad can ever happen to God's children unless God is asleep, and God never sleeps. So do all things for edification. The choice is yours. If you are truly born again, don't build the rest of your life on wood, hay, and stubble. It's not worth it. Because many lives will be stumbled by wood, hay, and stubble. But build your life, gold, silver, precious stone, and many lives will be blessed. They will be edified. The choice is yours, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for life. We thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast saved us for service. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt strengthen us, encourage our hearts, that we may realize how wonderful this life that Thou hast redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, a life that can be lived for the blessing and edification of the lives of the people around us. And we pray, Father, that you will send us forth as ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ to do exactly that, and pattern our lives according to that which the Apostle Paul himself has exemplified. Be ye followers of me, even as I follow Christ, was the Apostle Paul's injunction to all believers. Help us, O Lord, to do likewise and to say likewise to everyone, that we truly need to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, that this life that thou hast saved and redeemed and washed and blessed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ may be a life that will be lived for the blessing of others and to the praise and glory of thy holy name. May we do so till the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.